So good to see you today. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 37 and verse 4. And the title of the message today is The Great Purpose. Pastor Tommy read this wonderful verse just a little while ago. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. My father came home one night after a hard day's work. He was tired, and by the time he got home, his little boy was already in bed, but he hadn't seen his son all day, so he just did what sometimes I did over the years. He'd walk in and check on him, maybe pat him on the head if he's asleep, and just turn around and walk out. Well, when he walked into his bedroom, he found that his little boy was not asleep. He was awake, and he wanted to talk. He said, "Daddy, I want to ask you a few questions." He said, The father said, "Well, son, you got to make it quick because I'm tired and I want to go to bed." He said, "Well, Daddy, it won't take but a minute. Let me just ask you several questions." He said, "Okay, son, make it quick." He said, "Daddy, the first question I want to ask you is, how much money do you make?" Well, that sort of irritated the father. He said, "Well, son, I make enough for us to live on." He said, "Well, Daddy, I got another question." He said, "Okay, what's that?" He said, "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" Well, the father was getting sort of irritated by this time. He said, "Well, son, I make $25 an hour." Then the little boy said, "One more question, Daddy, real quick." He said, "All right, make it quick." He said, "Daddy, I'd like to borrow $10. And by this time, the father was already tired. He was irritated. He said, "Son, what kind of question is that? I'm not even going to answer that. Money doesn't grow on trees. Now, I'm not going to talk about loaning you any money. Money is very important. I'm just not going to talk to you about that." He just turned around and walked out and slammed the door. Well, the next morning, the father was feeling sort of bad the way he treated his son. They were sitting at the breakfast table. He said, "Son, I'm sorry for the way I acted last night. I was tired. No excuse, but I was just tired, and I didn't really want to talk. I just want to go to bed." The boy said, "That's all right, Daddy." And the father said, "Well, by the way, son, why in the world do you want to borrow $10 from me?" And the boy said, "Well, Daddy, it's like this. I've already got $15, and if I have 10 more dollars, that'll make 25. And, Daddy, I would like to use that $25 to buy 1 hour of your time." Sometimes I think that can happen in life because we just don't have the time or take the time that we ought to take for those things that are very, very important. And did you know the opposite of this is true concerning our Heavenly Father? Because God wanted to spend time with us so much that He was willing to pay for it. He paid for it by sending His only begotten Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And so that now, through Jesus Christ, we can spend time with God as His adopted children, and we can fellowship with God, and God can fellowship with us through Christ. Through Christ, every wall has been broken down, every barrier has been torn down, and every river has been bridged, and every door has been unlocked. So in the spiritual sense, through Christ, we can go into the very holy of holies of God anytime we want, 24/7, and we can spend time with God. What an awesome privilege that is. You see, God wants something from us. He wants fellowship. And God deserves something from us. And that is worship. As I said, there are two kinds of worship. One, there is public worship. And that's what we're doing today. Public worship. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, I can worship God without going to church." I've heard people tell me that point blank. And I know you can, but let me tell you something. In the Bible, there are two kinds of worship, public and personal, and you can't do public worship without going to the house of God on the day of God to worship the Son of God with the people of God. That's important. But then there is another kind of worship that you and I absolutely need every day that we live. And this kind of worship is what we call personal worship, private worship. Entering in your prayer closet as Jesus told us to do, and having time with our Heavenly Father. That is the great purpose of life, to spend time with God so that we can know God and love God and fellowship with God. You see, the Lord wants something more than work from us. If all God had wanted from us was work, He would have simply made more angels. Because angels can work longer, harder, and faster, and better than I can ever work or you can ever work. And think about this. Angels don't have to sleep. There is nothing in the Bible about an angel ever having to take a nap. So if the Lord had just simply wanted more work, He would have just made more angels. But the Lord wants something more than work. The Lord wants worship, and especially the kind of worship that we can give. Angels worship God as well. But listen, I can sing a song the angels cannot sing, and it's Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And there's nothing in the Bible about angels being called the children of God, as far as I can tell. But now the Bible says we are the children of God through Christ. Just like a child wanting to be with his father and the father wanting to be with his child, so now we can be with God in a wonderful time of worship and in fellowship. Now here in Psalm 37, David, Psalm of David, David is telling us what we can expect to gain by spending time with the Lord. David's writing out of his personal relationship with God. He wasn't a perfect man, but David knew God. And you study his life and you find that as he grew up in and around Bethlehem, he was a shepherd boy. And as David watched his sheep and played his harp and sang his psalms, David had wonderful and marvelous fellowship with God, so much so that the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. You know, I want to be that kind of man. A man after God's own heart. Because David desired to be with God and to spend time with God. And even after he became a king, though he was a very busy man, David still had time to spend with God. And David tells us four things that will happen when we make a determined effort every day to spend time with God. These four things will happen to us if we spend time with God, and they will not happen to us if we do not spend time with God. So what will spending time with God do? Number one, spending time with God will challenge us to reflect on God's character. Notice verse 4. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Notice the phrase, delight yourself in the Lord. David is telling us about personal and private worship. And David is saying, personal and private worship hangs on the concept of learning to delight oneself in the Lord. The word delight there means to take pleasure in, and it is based on knowing someone in a special and in a personal way. So what does it mean to delight oneself in the Lord? Well, you know, as you think about life, we delight ourselves in a lot of things. Some of us delight ourselves in our sports teams. You know, I was delighting myself big time in a certain sports team last night as I was watching it on the television, but it kept getting closer and closer, and my delight was about to become despair because I thought they might lose that game. We can delight ourselves in sports teams, and we can delight ourselves in our possessions, our land, our houses, our property. Or we can delight ourselves in our children and certainly in our grandchildren. Ellen and I, we have 12 grandchildren, soon have 13, then, Lord willing, 14 grandchildren. And we have learned to delight ourselves in our grandchildren. You know, it's wonderful having grandchildren because you can take them to your house and you can love on them and you can spoil them rotten and then you can send them home and go take a nap. Believe me, I know. And so we delight ourselves in these kinds of things. But more important than people or possessions or anything else is our relationship with the Lord. And in our relationship with the Lord, we should delight ourselves in Him, take pleasure in who He is and what He has done for us through Christ each and every day. And this leads me to say that your relationship and my relationship with the Lord is the most important thing of all in this life. It's more important than your relationship to possessions, more important than your relationship to people even. Your relationship to God is more important than your relationship even to your spouse. So why would you make that kind of statement, Pastor? Well, last week Ellen and I were married 43 years. And I've learned this about Christian marriage. Jesus, for that marriage to work like it ought to work, Jesus has to be the Lord of that marriage. And marriage, Christian marriage, for it to work like it ought to work, puts Jesus at the top. And I've said that Christian marriage is like a holy triangle with Jesus at the top. And the closer you and your spouse get to Jesus, the closer you get to one another. And He will bless that relationship and He will enrich that relationship. And His person and His character qualities will rub off on you. You know why we're cranky and cantankerous in the home? You know why we can be cranky and cantankerous sometimes at church and out in the world as we deal with people? If the truth be known, it's because we haven't taken time to spend very much time with God. Because when you spend time with the Lord, His character qualities are going to rub off on you. I think about this. I think about a story I heard one time about a little boy many years ago. Mother gave him $10 to go buy a few groceries. He went in and got the groceries. They put the groceries in a paper bag. They used paper bags back in those days. So he started carrying. It's kind of heavy anyhow. And somehow the bag bottom got a little moist. And it burst. And the bottle of milk fell out and it broke. The eggs fell out and broke. A jar of pickles fell out and broke. He just had a mess on the sidewalk. A man saw what had happened. He came up to him and the little boy was crying. He said, "Mama gave me this money. Now I made a mess out of it. And we don't have any groceries. And we don't have a lot of money." You know, it was a sad thing. And the mister helped him clean up the mess. And then the man handed him $10. He said, "Now, son, you go in and buy the groceries again. This time, tell them to double bag it." The little boy stood there holding that money, and he was stunned. He said, "Say, mister, let me ask you a question." He said, "Okay, son, what is it?" "Mister, are you Jesus?" The man said, "No, son, but I am one of His servants." You see, that's really the way it is when you spend time with the Lord. The Lord just has a way of rubbing off on you. What does spending time with God do? It challenges us to reflect on God's character. Number two, it causes us to receive God's blessings. Notice again verse 4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now this verse is a verse that a lot of people like because they think, well, you know, it's name it and claim it now. God will give me, if I just use this verse, God will give me a new Mercedes, or God will give me that big promotion, or we'll be able to take that dream vacation. He'll give me the desires of my heart. Oh, I just got to praise God. If I'll do that, He'll do this. Name it and claim it. But you got to notice the order here. Because the word delight comes before the word desire, and there is a reason for this. And here it is, when you and I really delight ourselves in the Lord, our desire will always be His desire. Our desire will always be, Lord, just show me what I should desire, because Lord, all I want is what You want. The nice car is okay, but I can live without it. The big house is fine, but I can live without it. The dream vacations would be great, but I can live without that. But Lord, I cannot live without a close, intimate relationship with You. I think this is what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. Paul was simply saying, I want my life, and my life is, in fact, all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of my life. Jesus is the subject of my life. And Jesus is the satisfaction of my life. For me to live is Christ, then to die is gain. Now when it comes to desire, there are three kinds of desire I think you and I need to consider. One, there is selfish desire. What is selfish desire? Well, selfish desire comes as a result of our fallen nature. You've got it, I've got it. And the chief manifestation of your fallen nature, you don't lose it when you get saved, you've got to learn to control it. The chief manifestation of your fallen nature is selfishness. Selfishness. You can see it in little children. They don't have any way to kind of hide it. We get a little older, we try to hide it, but we still got it, folks. What is selfish desire? Well, a selfish desire is wanting something that God does not want for us. And then when I don't get it, we don't get it, what do? We pout about it. And we sort of get mad at God and feel like, well, God has let me down. Prayed about that job, didn't get it. God let me down. Prayed about that new house, can't afford it, but didn't get it. God let me down, and on and on. Folks, let me tell you something. If it will make you healthy, happy, or holy, God will say, go ahead, I'll give it to you. But when God sometimes withholds things from you after you've prayed about it, He knows that that wouldn't be the best thing for you. But be careful when you persist and persist in wanting something and wanting something, even though it's not God's best will for your life. You know, sometimes you study the Scriptures, God will go ahead and give it to you and teach your spiritual lesson. Remember the children of Israel? They had manna for 40 years. Manna in the morning, manna in noonday, manna when the sun goes down. One preacher said they even tried to store it in a manna freezer. Just manna all the time. Manna, manna, manna. They got tired of it. But manna was perfect food for desert living. They were living in the desert. Wasn't anything out there. They wanted meat. They wanted meat. And they just kept grumbling and complaining. They wanted meat. God said, okay, I'm going to give you meat. Sent the quail in. And in Psalm 106 and verse 15, the Bible says, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. Be careful when you persist in seeking something that is not God's will for your life, because God may go ahead and give it to you in order to teach you a lesson. And you know what you're going to learn? You're going to learn that after you got what you wanted, you really didn't want what you got. You should have wanted God's will for your life. There's selfish desire. Then there's satanic desire. And what do we mean by satanic desire? Well, satanic desire comes at us in the form of temptation. And temptation is Satan's appeal to God-given desire and trying to get us to fulfill God-given desire in an ungodly way. Temptation comes to us in the areas of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, God has given each of us certain desires, nothing wrong with them. Desire for food is a God-given desire. Desire for sleep is a God-given desire. The desire for love and companionship is a God-given desire. But Satan comes along and he appeals to our fallen nature and he tries to get us to fulfill these godly desires, God-given desires, in an ungodly way. So the desire for food becomes gluttony. The desire for rest becomes laziness. The desire for love and companionship becomes immorality. Satanic desire is Satan appealing to our God-given desires and trying to get us to attempt to fulfill them in an ungodly way. Satanic desire. Then there is sanctified desire. And sanctified desire says, we go before the Lord and we say, Lord, show me the desire of your heart, because, Lord, my desire is your desire. I don't want anything else. And we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, please show me what your desire for my life is. One of the most important questions you will ever ask in this life is, Lord, what is the desire of your heart for my heart? And we could say, Lord, what do you want me to want? Because, Lord, I don't want anything in my life that you don't want me to have. I just want what you want. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Now, if you do that and you really mean that, and this is a mindset that you have every day that you live, you know what? God will begin to reveal His plan for your life. But He's going to add other things in with it. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord makes us rich and He adds no sorrow with it. A lot of people, they get all these things, but all kinds of misery and sorrow comes with them. People, they give themselves over to riches, things, money. And the Bible says when they make money an idol, what do? They pierce themselves through. The love of money is the root of all evil. And they pierce themselves through with many hurtful sorrows. But if you just give God your heart and say, Lord, all I want is what you want, God will throw in a lot of other blessings along with it. Blessings that you can handle. I think about Solomon. Solomon's made king. You know, he went down after he became king, but in the beginning, he really wanted to do the right thing. And the Lord said to Solomon, Solomon, I'm going to give you whatever you want, your heart's desire, Solomon, whatever it is, I'm going to give it to you. And Solomon said, Lord, I'm just a young man, and I need wisdom, Lord, wisdom. I don't know how to govern these people. So I ask that you give me wisdom. And the Bible says that so pleased the Lord that the Lord gave Solomon a double portion of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs, for the most part, is the written record of the wisdom that God gave Solomon. But God was so delighted with what Solomon asked for that the Lord said, Solomon, I'm going to pour in and a lot of other things into your life that you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for gold, but you're going to get it. You didn't ask for prestige, you're going to get it. You didn't ask for possessions, you're going to get it. And one commentator said Solomon was so rich that he could have bought Bill Gates out with pocket change. What does spending time with God do? One, it challenges us to reflect on God's character. Two, it causes us to receive God's blessing. And three, it compels us to rely on God's power. Notice what he says in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Notice the word commit there. The word commit is an interesting word. It literally means in the Hebrew to roll over. And what he's really saying, instead of letting life roll over you, what you and I need to do is roll our lives over to Him, to the Lord, and let Him handle all the situations of life. And you're going to find Romans 8:28 being fulfilled in your life, that God will cause all things to work together for your good and His glory. I'm 64 years old now. I was saved when I was 19 years of age. If my math is correct, this month, I'll be 45 years old in the Lord. In the Lord. When I first started out in life, my teen years, you know, I really had my own life mapped out, and I wasn't concerned about God's plan for my life. When my dad died suddenly, you know what? That got my attention. And I realized that what I had at that particular time in my life, it wasn't worth a hill of beans and dry ground. And the Lord began to work on me and deal with me, and the Lord completely turned me around, and He saved me, and He called me into the ministry. And now, looking back on it, almost 45 years later, I can truthfully tell you today, I don't look back on my life now as a man 64 years of age with regret. I don't. I look back on my life with rejoicing, and I praise God every day of my life for giving me what I did not deserve, His grace, and for letting me, even though there have been obstacles and trials and difficulties, letting me prove, according to Romans 12:2, that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Because, folks, I'm here today to tell you it is. And so the Bible is teaching here, we need to commit our ways to the Lord and trust also in Him. And the Bible says He will bring it to pass. What does spending time with God do? It challenges us to reflect on His character, causes us to receive His blessing, and it compels us to rely on His power. I'll tell you something else it'll do for us. It conditions us to rest in His will. Notice what He says in verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. I was reading Psalm 37 again this week, and I noticed three times in Psalm 37, David uses the phrase, do not fret. Three times, verses 1, 7, 8, do not fret. And that word fret literally means to burn. And it reminded me how life can sometimes burn us up, and life sometimes can burn us out. David says, don't let that happen to you. Don't let life's inevitable irritants, and we want life to run smooth. I've discovered almost all the time life doesn't run smooth. There's always something you got to deal with. Don't let life burn you up, and don't let life burn you out. Oh, the outward man is going to perish. The Bible says that, but the Bible also says that the inner man is renewed every day. Now, how can you avoid getting burned up and burned out with life? I'll tell you how. It's by spending time with God. There is an amazing sequence of things that are going to take place in your life, good things that will take place in your life when you spend time with God. Let me mention these very briefly. One, spending time with God will cause you to know God. Think about this. If you never spend time with God, how in the world will you ever get to know Him? This is why some folks refer to Him as the man upstairs. They think of God as some kind of distant deity. Hey, He wants to be more than that, folks. He wants to come to you like He did with Adam before the fall. As they walked as friend with friend in the Garden of Eden, and they fellowship there. God wants to come to you like that. But you've got to make time for Him. Spending time with God will cause you to know God. Now, number two, knowing God will cause you to love God. Because to know Him is to love Him. And number three, loving God will cause you to trust God. Sometimes people say, oh, I know about faith, and I want to live by faith, and the faith is a crown. Pastor Jack says faith is the crown jewel of the Christian life, and oh, I just need faith. How can I get faith? Love God. Know God, love God. Knowing God, loving God comes from spending time with God equals faith. Let me tell you a true story. Some years ago, one of our grandchildren was born, and my daughter and her husband at that time lived in Portland, Oregon, on the other side of the country. And they were going to come home for a visit. And so they flew across the country and came here to Charleston to visit with us. We had not seen this. He's their oldest child. They have some more children now, pregnant with another one. But we'd not seen our grandson much because they lived on the other side of the country. In fact, I don't think I'd seen him at all. Ellen had, but I hadn't. She went out there. He was just a little toddler. And then they get here, and after a couple of days, my daughter says, Dad, she said, called her husband's name. She said, we want to go out of town for a few days, and we want you to keep Titus. And I thought, I don't know about this. We're strange, almost strangers to him. Well, I wonder how you'll be without Mom and Dad. My wife, who always has more wisdom than me, she said, oh, it'll be okay. I said, I'm not so sure. He didn't hardly even know us. Well, you know what? They went out of town, and that little fella took up with us. I never told him, but I don't think he missed Mom and Dad at all. We just had a big time. And I tried to figure it out. I said, I wonder why he just took up with us so quick and so good, and we were just had a big time. I thought, well, maybe it's in his DNA. We're a close family, and he just sensed that. But then I figured it out. It's because he knew how much we loved him. He sensed that in his little heart. And because he knew how much we loved him, he sensed our love, he was able to trust us. Listen, when you experience the love of God, not just in theory, but in heart, you're able to trust God, even when you don't understand. Notice this sequence of events. Spending time with God causes us to know God. Knowing God causes us to love God. Loving God causes us to trust God. And trusting God will cause us to rest in God. Notice Psalm 34, verse 7. Yet rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. The word rest means to be still and quiet before the Lord. Let me give you one of the greatest spiritual exercises that you will ever, ever do in your life. We've talked about having that quiet devotional time with the Lord, but how do you do that? Sometimes we rush into the presence of the Lord and we have a needs list a mile long and we start off on all that. No, don't do that. Start off with praising and thanking Him for who He is and what He has done. Have a season of praise and thanksgiving. Don't ask Him for a thing. And then after a while, say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, as best I can, I'm going to sit here for the next 5 or 10 minutes. And if you've got anything to say to me whatsoever, as best I can, Lord, I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to wait patiently before You. And if you've got anything to tell me at all, Lord, I'm all ears. I want to hear what You're saying to me, Lord. Now, there'll be times, and I've had this happen to me many, many times, the Lord will say, okay, Jack, I don't have anything to tell you today other than what's in My Word. Now get in My Word. Yes, Lord. But then there have been other times when I have just been sitting there before the Lord as best I can, not thinking about anything or anybody except Him, focusing on Him. Lord, You've got my undivided attention. You have anything You want to tell me today? Glad You asked, Jack. And He'll speak to me about something, some situation, somebody. A lot of times He'll speak to me about this church. And I don't mind telling you, this is the truth. The very best ideas that I have ever had for Charleston Baptist Church in my 27 years, over 27 years, been pastor now, co-pastor of this church. The very best ideas that I've ever had for this church did not come out of some church growth manual. Oh, that's good, and I've learned from those. But it didn't come out of some church growth manual. It came out of just sitting before the Lord and saying, Lord, If you've got anything to tell me about Charleston Baptist Church, I'm all ears. And God has spoken to me on occasion, and I said, whoa. It's almost bigger than I can imagine. Lord, people won't understand this. Judge, you just do it. You see what happens. Resting in God will cause us to follow God. As you rest in Him, after you've waited before Him, you're renewed, you're refreshed, and you're able to take a step of faith. You're ready to do what He wants you to do because you know that He's going to be with you every step of the way. See, it's very important that we take time every day to privately and personally spend time with God in worship. Because, folks, if you will do this and make this a way of life, it will absolutely revolutionize your life. You will like the new you, and so will other people. Now let's pray together. Precious Father, we thank You for these dear people gathered here today. And Lord, how important it is for us to take time to be holy and to speak often with our God and let our God speak to us. Impress, Lord, upon our hearts the importance of this. For Lord, really, this is the great purpose of life. To know God, to love God, and to grow in Him. We pray that You would challenge us to spend time, commit ourselves to spending time with the Lord each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here today as a Christian and the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. And you just need to renew your commitment to spending time with God. We live in such a busy world. And we can get so crowded with schedule and things to do and people that we miss the very purpose for which we were made. More than anything else, I think, spend time with God in fellowship and worship. Maybe you need to commit yourself to that today. Then maybe you're here today and you need to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son so He could spend time with you not only in this life but for all eternity. A wonderful place called heaven. I invite you to come in repentance and faith. Give your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to come join us. Love to have you a part of Charleston Baptist. Present yourself for baptism like these have done today. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Whatever your decision is, I'll be standing here to receive you. Let's stand together as we sing.